Now, in a big change to the vaccine rollout, the federal government's authorised GPs to administer the jab to elderly and people with a disability in private homes and residential facilities. It's part of the government's big push to ensure that vulnerable Australians have received both shots of the vaccine as winter sets in. COVID-19 not only poses a health risk to older Australians, but its enforced social isolation has increased the risk of both financial and emotional abuse. Today is World Elder Abuse Day, and we're joined now by Australia's Age Discrimination Commissioner, Kay Patterson. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
I do want to talk to you about today, but just on this news about the vaccine rollout to aged care homes, you welcome this move allowing doctors to go into nursing homes and private homes to vaccinate elderly Australians?
Yes, it will help to catch up with the ones who haven't been vaccinated. It's an important measure that's been brought in. But the vaccination program is going, I think, a little more slowly than we thought, but it's covered. In fact, all those who wanted vaccination, I've been advised that 100% of them have had their first vaccination and that 85% have had their second vaccination. Look, it's been a huge task, and I know that COVID-19 has exposed a number of fault lines in a range of areas, you know, public high-rise housing, state borders, hotel quarantine, and it's pretty easy to be an armchair critic. But we've seen now most of our people in aged care vaccinated, and I think we need to go back because, you know, people weren't there when the team came through. More people have come into aged care. They're all and it's important that we now have another measure of vaccinating those people who haven't been vaccinated.
Have you been disturbed at the pace of the rollout, particularly in the aged care sector?
No, I was health minister once and I'm not prepared to be an armchair critic. It's a huge, huge logistical operation. And as I said, we've seen challenges in all the areas, state borders, hotel quarantine. And the important thing is we learn from this in case there's another pandemic. I think that's the important thing. Rather than being critical, we need to focus on the positives, take out the learnings from this, and actually congratulate the people who are working day and night. And, you know, it's easy to be critical, but we have got most of those older people in nursing, well, all of them in nursing homes who wanted it vaccinated. But I hear that in Victoria, more are asking now that rejected it in the first place. So this measure that the Health Minister mentioned yesterday will actually help to catch that up with those people who now want a vaccination or who are coming into aged care.
With respect, though, weren't we supposed to learn some things about the catastrophe that unfolded in the aged care sector in Victoria last year and go into this winter much better prepared?
Look, Hamish, it's about elder abuse today. It's not my responsibility. I think we could sit back and be easy to be armchair critics, but each area that we see has had to pick up, learn from their mistakes, learn from what's happened and move on.
To be fair, I don't think it's about being an armchair critic. I mean, there were serious issues raised. The government, the relevant minister said that he was comfortable with the pace of the rollout. That caused a great deal of alarm. Do you think that actually things do need to improve before the remainder of winter?
Hamish, having 100% of those people vaccinated and 85% having had their second vaccination, I think that we could say that they're pretty well covered for winter. And I don't know what else you expect.
Sure.
They're going to finish those last 15% with this new measure and the team's still working at the end. I think we could say that as far as possible, older people in aged care have been covered. I think a significant number of people over 70, including myself, have been vaccinated outside of aged care. I think it's over 60%. So I think we're moving towards it. I would just encourage everybody to take the opportunity to get vaccinated.
The World Health Organization has reported a rise in elder abuse due to the pandemic. How much more vulnerable are older Australians now?
Well, I think one of the things that's happened is that a lot of older people have been in lockdown, as I have here in Victoria. They're more isolated. One of the factors in elder abuse is isolation. And one of the most important things is that we get the message out that there is help for people if somebody's abusing them, neglecting them, or is using their money abusing their power of attorney. Then there is help available and on a 1-800-353-374. That goes to the helpline in the state from which the phone calls come. It's absolutely vital that we keep our eyes open to elder abuse because people are so isolated now. Families breaking up, sons and daughters or moving back into the family home, pestering the mother to downsize. wanting money because they haven't got a job. There's much more pressure on older people now, and I think it's absolutely vital that this is a day in which we shine a light onto this scourge of elder abuse. But we should be actually shining a light on 364 other days of the year, because it's an area I think that's been neglected, and we're seeing it being a much more commonly talked about now. The community is more aware that people can be abused, particularly by their own family members, which is very sad.
Can you just help us understand, though, what the connection is between this further isolation and the various forms of elder abuse that can occur?
Well, what is it? Many people are locked down in the home with the perpetrator. They can't get out to their doctor. They're having maybe telehealth calls. They don't go to the hairdresser as often. People who might notice, or they might talk to about the fact that somebody's taking their money or psychologically abusing them, because they're not being out and seen in the community and those voices being heard in the community, they're more likely to be being abused and not being able to seek help, because their perpetrator's with them 24 hours a day. They're not going to the bank. They're not going to the hairdresser. They're not going to the doctor, who might extract from them the fact they're being abused.
You mentioned the hotline that older Australians can call. Has there been an increase in calls over the last year?
There's been a significant increase in the calls. In fact, one to the national hotline that redirects to the state hotlines have doubled, gone up 99%. And I've known, been talking to the people who are responsible for the helplines across Australia, that their calls, because they use a state number as well, they've gone up. So it's increased. And I think awareness has been one thing. And the second thing is the fact that people have been isolated. Loneliness and isolation is one of the factors in elder abuse.
The Law Reform Commission in 2017 urged the federal government to seize what it called a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to protect the elderly by making changes to the power of attorney system. We're 4 years on from that. Commitments have been made, but there's still no streamlined system. What's the roadblock?
Well, I've spoken to every attorney general. It's like painting the Harbour Bridge, Hamish. When they, a new one comes, you've got to start again. But I know that Anna Bly from the Australian Banking Association and I ring them on a regular basis, especially before they meet, to say, let's get on with this. It's moving at a glacial pace. What the Law Reform Commission recommended was a nationally consistent laws regarding powers of attorney and enduring documents. And that would make it much easier to educate older people. Some of them don't realise they can revoke their power of attorney. They don't realise that there's the things that they can do to protect themselves, make sure they've got those documents in place. You could educate people if we had a nationally consistent laws regarding powers of attorney and enduring guardianship. So the attorneys have agreed to look at a register and to develop a register of powers of attorney. Now what they need to do is to get on and work towards a nationally consistent laws regarding powers of attorney. And I think if there's anything that we can do in this World Elder Abuse Day in Australia, is to make sure the attorneys
have to leave it there. Kay Patterson, thank you very much.